Mmm, lip smacking good. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lip Smacking Good, where the motto of the show is, if your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. We got our guest. Her name is Nichelle Stevens. Am I pronouncing your last name correct, ma'am?
Yes, you are.
Okay, no problem. And you can find her on Twitter at Niche, N-I-C-H-E. She also has a Tumblr, and she also has a website, cupcakes, take the cake, .blogspot.com. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, ma'am?
Okay, well, I'm originally from Birmingham, Alabama. So a Southern girl, and just recently moved back to the Atlanta area after living in Brooklyn for over a decade. I started blogging about 9 years ago, a personal blog, and then I started a cupcake blog with my friend Rachel called Cupcakes Take the Cake, out of my love and passion of cupcakes, not necessarily of baking, because I don't even bake that much, but I like sweets. And from blogging, I've gotten a lot of freelance gigs of writing about food, doing social media for food startups. Just a lot of opportunities have come my way out of a love of cupcakes, and just really, really been interested in all things tech and gadgety for a long time.
And I went and found out some information about you, and I was reading, and I was like, wow, y'all. I'm going to let y'all know she's a blogger, a cupcake enthusiast. She's a editor, event producer. She freelances for social. She's a social media strategist and publicist. What is that, ma'am?
The publicist or the social media strategist?
It all combined, because that's kind of a new format for a lot of people. And they go, okay, social media. They think Twitter. They think Facebook. It's like, in a lot of people's mind, they go, well, how can you freelance doing something like that?
Well, what I've done is come up with a strategy. So focus more on the strategy than necessarily what you're using, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. I've done it for a small business or for like a big brand, and try to find where their audience is, find where their niche is, no pun intended, meaning like if I did something for American Airlines Black Atlas, I was looking for people who are black who travel, whether they're on Tumblr or the Twitter or Blogger. I was looking for them, so I was telling them about this contest that we're having. So it's normally like just doing some research to find your audience and reach out to them through social media. Obviously, it's Twitter and Facebook is involved, but I think a lot of people think that it's something that they can easily do. But for it to be effective, you really need to find that audience and tell them things that they're interested in, because there's so much noise out there. You want to cut through that noise and get something that's relevant to them.
Yes. And that's a true statement. I think a lot of people underestimate the power of it, because a lot of people use it and they don't use it for actually a business purpose. So they don't really understand the power of it. And, you've also written for allbusiness.com, Black Table. For 4 years, you produced a weekly stand up called Chicks and Giggles.
Yeah. And that's actually how I met Elon James White. And Emily. Emily used to do our show. I used to co-produce a weekly show at this bar in the Lower East Side. And I can't believe I did a weekly show and didn't get paid for it. But booked the show, promoted the show, you know, I had an email list, because this was before Facebook was out. Maybe Twitter was out near the end, but you just didn't use social media much at that time, because this was like 2004 to 2008.
Ah.
But basically, we had a blog, and we would tell people about the show, and we would normally have about 6 female comedians. And I say we because I had a co-producer who also hosted the show. Sometimes I hosted it, but I'm not a comedian per se. I've done some comedic storytelling, but I'm not a stand-up. I'm not going to sit up and write jokes and go on stage and try them out. That's
not you?
No, that's hard. That's hard. I've seen people bomb too much.
And it was featured in the New York Times and Bus Magazine. For something that you did for free, you got recognized for that, ma'am. How did you feel about being recognized for a job that you didn't even get paid for?
I mean, it's all good, but that was hustle. To get mentioned in the New York Times, I saw the New York Times writer at another show, and I said, when does your, because he said he's doing a story on the New York comedy scene. I said, when is your story, when do you have to submit your story? Because you should come to my show on Tuesday night. He said, they had to submit it the next day. I said, can you just mention Chicks and Giggles? So, yes, mentioned wow. in the New York Times. Yes, it was more than a list. It was mentioned in an article. And actually, the next week, people came to the show because all I had to do was Google it. And they said, oh, well, that's where that show is. It's free. Let's go. So it did work to get, you know, the hustle like that. But you got to do that. Like, serious.
Yes, hard work really, truly pays off. You've also appeared on CNN, The Today Show, Martha Stewart, and Food Network. Now, how is it dealing with, like, television and being on TV? Like, how is that different from maybe, like the interview with the person from New York Times where you was kind of face-to-face?
Well, the Food Network opportunity came way before Martha Stewart, and every once in a while people say, I saw you on that show, because it wasn't actually necessarily cupcake related. It was a discussion about snack cakes.
Okay.
And I was a talking head, like they have VH1 has talking heads, yes, or whatever. And I was just talking about Hostess Cupcakes or Little Debbie's or whatever, I forget. But it was pretty much like a blind call. The PR person emailed me, and then she asked me a couple questions, and then I went to Food Network's offices, and I still didn't know. Like, I could have been cut, because there's been times where people said they wanted you to come in, and sometimes I just get to the phone call, and then like, yeah, we'll see, and then you don't hear anything. So I actually got okay. on camera, but I didn't know I was actually going to be in it until it aired.
Okay.
So the thing is, with a lot of things, well, with the Martha Stewart thing, it was actually a live taping, so we knew it was going to be there. But
okay.
sometimes you don't know. You could be on the cutting room floor. So you don't get too excited about it until someone else tells you. Because even the people, the production people, they don't even tell you. That you're gonna, they don't say, hey, look out, you're going to be on TV. No one ever tells you I'm going to be on TV. Okay. I am surprised.
So it's like they film you, you go through the whole process, and then somebody chops and cuts it, and then you may or may not be on it, depending on whatever they were trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Wow. So they just have tapes and tapes, and you're just sitting around, and people's like, you know what? Maybe one day we might get to it.
Yeah, because it was something that was supposed to be on NBC. This is one disappointment. It was going to be for Black History Month for the NBC local in New York. And I talked on and on. I had like intelligent talks about like Black people aren't a monolith and we should recognize our culture present day and in the past and all these different things and entrepreneurs. And they had a film crew, and they did the whole thing, and I don't know where that is.
you don't know what happened to that film. That film just like, she too pro-Black. I don't know now. We know it's Black History Month, but, you know, all this talk, we can't take it. So yeah. you just never know with things like that. What's the difference between, because you said you spent 10 years in Brooklyn, what's the difference between the food experiences in New York and the food experiences where you're at right now in Atlanta?
Well, I was just saying the last weekend I went to downtown Decatur, which is suburban Atlanta, and they have like a tiny little artisan farmers market. And that's like the baby version of what is going on in Brooklyn. So
okay.
some of the things that have been going on in Brooklyn for a while are starting to catch on in Atlanta and every place else. I think it's really interesting is how much people up north are embracing Southern soul food. Like
yeah.
more than just fried chicken, but like everything from shrimp and grits to the desserts, like more than just red velvet cake, but like caramel cake and all these things that we kind of grew up with.
Yeah.
They are embracing it. They're charging a whole lot of more money for it. And
yes, they are. They, and I've realized that, also, like ribs, like pulled pork and ribs.
Y'all, pulled pork like, is insane.
And down here, we understand that pulled pork isn't like a steak or a burger or anything like that. So it's going to be red, it's going to be pink, but it's literally done. And I've heard like people will order it and then be like, this is not done. And they, when they were saying like, when they first started introducing some of that food, they had to explain to people that it's going to be red, it's going to be pink, but it's done and it's not going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things about, like, you know, soul food in particular is that we were using the scraps and we made delicious food out of scraps.
Yep.
And now people up north, the specialist chefs of these big restaurants, are trying to do the same thing, but they have bigger budgets and they can't totally replicate it because they're using grass-fed pork or whatever, you know, like it's not going to have the same exact taste.
No, it's not. And also, like you said, you're charging eight times as much because like I can go down to a place here in Charlotte and have a shrimp and grits, a grits meal, and, you know, pay, you know, $7-$8 for it. That same plate with the same amount of food would cost me $21.95 at dinner somewhere up there. And it's like, wow, you gotta be, it's like you're looking like it's the same thing. And the only difference is that they might be using a better kind of hominy, my vocabulary word for the day. And I found out hominy is actually corn. And I remember somebody was like, do you know hominy is corn? I was like, what do you mean hominy is corn? They was like, it really is. So grits is actually ground corn. I didn't know that. I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. I thought they was lying when they told you. So you learn something new every day.
Yep. Exactly. So yeah, that's one of the things. Well, funny thing is, I'm moving back home. I've been eating more of my dad's cooking. I actually forgot how good he is. I knew he was a good cook, but I look forward to all my meals now.
you don't come ready. But all right, I got my fork, I got my napkin, I got my spoon. You know, when is we gonna eat? And how is it running the number one cupcake blog site? And how do you stand above the rest? Because, like, anybody that knows anything about cupcakes or anything about the cupcake world know about you.
Well, one thing is being around for a long time. And I guess, you know, the whole idea of just being first to market and having a bigger market share as far as blogs is concerned. But also posting very regularly. I mean,
yes, you do. And they're beautiful pictures.
I would say it's only been slowing up a little bit because I moved and then my co-founder Rachel just moved to somewhere in South Jersey. So she hadn't had as much internet access, but still there's probably definitely a post up every day, Monday through Friday, several posts, some days a week. And then on the weekends as well. Keeping current. Knowing what our audience is very important. And the interesting thing is we have pretty much two big chunks of audiences. One who are people who are just, they love cupcakes and they love looking at pictures and they're not necessarily big bakers. And then two is people who are home-based bakers who are maybe interested in starting their own business or have a side hustle of making cupcakes and look to our blog for inspiration. And part of that group is also professional bakery owners.
Okay.
Who, I mean, every time I meet someone who owns a cupcake business, they say they check my blog on a regular basis. So it's like a journal. Wow. A professional journal for cupcake bakery owners. And I've been trying to do more content that's for them. It's not super regular, but I'm trying to do a column called Flower Power where I'll talk something about the cupcake business. And I've done like an article about like, shipping cupcakes, because I think most places probably should not ship because it costs too much and you can't guarantee that the cupcake that you shipped out looks like the cupcake that they get, because between packaging and, you know, weather like this, hot weather, you know, you don't know what those cupcakes are going to look like. So is it worth it? But I want to kind of keep that more regular, because maybe as opposed to doing a book of recipes, maybe doing a book about running a artisan food business, if not running a cupcake business. Because a lot of people are doing it, and there's several cupcake places here in Atlanta that I need to go tour. I plan on doing maybe doing a couple of weekends and just kind of go hit all of them, and kind of see what's going on here. I've been to a couple before, and the thing that is interesting here is that a lot of the southern cake traditions are happening with the cupcakes, meaning having caramel cupcakes and stuff like that, not just
traditional cupcakes. And when it comes to cupcakes, we actually had some cupcakes sent to us, and they had some alcohol in it. They were beautiful cupcakes, but it looked like the UPS man took the box and shook it up real hard. And I mean, they was yummy and delicious, but man, it was frosting on frosting. When you open up that box, you was like, oh my goodness. You're like, oh, this is delicious, but I'm pretty sure it ain't supposed to, you know, look like it just ran everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were, who sent you the cupcakes that were boozy? Because now I want them.
One of our fans, and when we get off, Roger could give you the information, but
okay.
One of our fans did, and she was telling us about the cupcakes. She was like, they're delicious. And I was like, ooh, I never had cupcakes with alcohol in it before. I was like, I'm down. And so she sent them, and they were scrumptious, but it was one of those things when you said shipping, I was like, yeah, unless you're going to, you know, do it like they do Omaha Steaks, where they put it in like a heart transplant box, because somebody sent us some Omaha Steaks, and I went out there, they were like, you got some? I was like, what, is there going to be blood vials in the heart with some dry ice on this? I was like, what's going on? But that stuff is like flawless, because they got like on dry ice, it's packed, it's in the big box. They, you know, it's like, do not shake, do not do this, do not do that. But, you know, if it's not something like that, odds are, it's not going to look, your presentation of your cupcake is going to be terrible. And how do you, for what you do, how can you keep up with what's hot in cupcakes? Like, do you have, like, this is the hot frosting for the month, this is the hot batter for the month?
Well, actually, that's a good question. At first, I used to use Google Alerts, but that actually just yields a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
So, I think one of the best things I do is actually, since I follow a lot of cupcake bakers, and these cupcake bakeries are really, the ones that are really good on Twitter or Facebook, they post what their cupcake flavors of the week are, and I'm starting to notice trends, and I'm trying to get in the habit of doing this, if not every morning, a couple of times a week, like seeing what they are posting, retweeting them, and like sometimes I've seen like a trend of like, I've seen some people doing pineapple upside down cupcakes, which I think a little bit more labor intensive, but I'm sure they're yummy. But
oh,
I mean,
that sounds delicious.
You have to put the pineapple down at the, you put that down first in the cupcake liner when you make them. And I just know that would take longer than just to make a regular cupcake, because you got to put a little pineapple on each one. And, you know, if you're doing that commercially, that's going to take more time. But apparently that seems to be very popular. Strawberry lemonade, I see it more like fruity. I mean, it is summertime, so people don't stop eating cupcakes. I just think they're leaving the heavier chocolate ones behind to more of the fruity ones.
Okay,
or
more
like,
lighter type or, of
things. Yeah.
In your experience with cupcakes, if somebody wanted cupcakes that were gluten-free, are there gluten-free cupcakes out there?
Yes, there are. There are some bakeries that do maybe one cupcake that's gluten-free. Magnolia does a chocolate. It's pretty much like a, it's almost like chocolate. It's called a chocolate flowers cake. It's a nice, dense, spongy cake, because it doesn't have any flour in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some other places do it. I think Baby Cakes in New York does them. And Gluten-Free Girl, if you're going to make it home, Gluten-Free Girl has actually, it's one of the probably most well-known gluten-free blogs, has recipes, for gluten-free. I think one of the things that people need to know about is learning, don't try to adapt a regular cupcake recipe and make it gluten-free, find a gluten-free recipe. And then there's also some guides on how to, you can make your own gluten-free flour, or you can buy it. King Arthur Flour sales of Gloomfree Flower. I'm actually amazed that I can tell you all these things off the top of my head without actually, I'm not looking anything up. Cause I have my iPad if I needed to look anything up, and I'm I know this.
you're the cupcake queen, ma'am.
Yeah, so one of the things is that being able to find good recipes, there's books out there, but I think if you go with, I say gluten-free, if you have celiac disease, then you have more of a concern about really finding the ones that are, like, totally approved and stuff like that. But if you just want to reduce your flour intake, then there are some gluten-free chocolate cake recipes. And because that's my go-to, because I think the power of chocolate will make you forget that there is no flour in
true.
It. Flour, you get a really good chocolate cake recipe that's gluten-free, you won't mind it. But with, like, vanilla, some of those other cake flavors that kind of, like, that flour is kind of necessary, then you're going to have to go and do some research. But chocolate, you're okay.
Is there any cupcakes that are, like, sugar free, because we deal with cupcakes, you deal with sweet, but like sugar free, or they use like substitute sugar in their cupcakes if somebody wants to cut down on their sugar content, but they still have a sweet tooth?
Yeah, there are sugar free cupcakes. Most people who have diabetes are looking for the sugar free cupcakes. Stevia is usually what people use in place of sugar. I mean, for frosting, you could probably get away with using agave nectar, but when it comes to cupcake or bacon, period, it's a science. So you can't substitute something like a syrup, like agave syrup, for sugar, one for one. One, because of it's just like it's syrup, it's not the same as sugar.
That's
so
true.
Like, you want something that's more like sugar, and stevia, the stevia powder or whatever, you can use that. But again, look for those recipes. Don't adapt the recipe, because the cake may not rise or whatever. So it's always better to just look for those recipes. And we posted recipes because we've gotten that vegan, gluten-free, sugar-free. I mean, this is a woman up in Connecticut who makes allergen-free cupcakes that hardly have, they don't have eggs, they don't have sugar, they don't have wheat.
How do they taste? Like a piece of paper?
You know what? I told her, she brought some to me once, and I said, they're surprisingly not disgusting.
Yeah, because that's what you think. You're like, you have taken, it's like she took all the fun out of the cupcake. Let me strip the color. Let me strip everything out of the cupcake. Wow.
Yeah, but her daughter has allergies. So people really.
Okay. But they still want cupcakes, but you can't enjoy it as much as a normal cupcake.
Yeah, she gave me a couple samples, and I remember actually giving some to some of the guys, because I used to be a member of a co-working space, and it was mostly tech guys, so they're not concerned with calories at all.
No.
And they're like, it's all right. And then one guy said it was kind of dry, but you know what? The fact that none of them spit it out, I said, she did pretty good for allergy.
Ain't that true? Because when you did it with dudes, I'm like, man, these cupcakes is terrible. You'd have looked and they'd have all been in the trash can, but obviously they were halfway decent. What do you think about the trend of cupcakes getting smaller and smaller and smaller, but they still charging you like you buying a full-size cupcake?
I mean, the mini cupcakes. So the interesting thing about this is, I think this kind of came out of just the trend of using cupcakes for weddings and, or just, you know, for any kind of event where it's catered event, because you can have these small little pieces that are passed around and stuff like that. Well, when they're small like that, for every one bite cupcake, you really need to order three times as much if you have people over. So they don't save you money. And you have to make more. And they're not that cheap. Because you would think, I just can't, I mean, paying $1 for one, that seems ridiculously expensive. That's like in a lot of ways. But then I'm like, oh, well, I have to sample cupcakes. And then Prohibition Bakery in the Lower East Side of New York, they have minis, but they have alcohol in them. So I'm like, yeah.
I understand. That's completely different than, you know, a lot of times you get two cupcakes for $1 or four for $1, you know, depending on if you got a sale going on, and you're like, wow, y'all charging, you know, twice as much. And what you said makes sense. It's like, most people gonna get two or three of them, so you might as well make a normal size cupcake.
Yeah. Okay. If you ever was gonna get some for a party or a wedding or any kind of event, you just know you pretty much need to be buying like three times as much if you were buying regular size. So it's interesting because, I mean, the bakers who are doing it, once they get it down packed, because I've had issues with some of them being kind of dry or some of them not having enough frosting. But if they get their recipe down packed, their margins are crazy because how much they're charging considering what they're buying in bulk, you know, sugar, flour, you know, vanilla extract, you know, it's not, you're not, your ingredients aren't that expensive. You may buy some splurge on some very expensive chocolate, but other than that, your expenses are minimal.
Low. And to me, that would be very tedious, you know, because you're like doing all these minis versus you can just do them all in a larger amount. So when isn't it more labor intensive making them small like that?
It's labor intensive, and that's one of the things that I think some of the people who have bakeries, they may have get interns or someone to work for them just to maybe come and frost for them, you know, like if they have a big order or something like that. Can you just come over and frost these cupcakes for me for a couple of hours or something like that? Sometimes that's what they need. They need someone just to finish them up. So yeah, it can be labor intensive, but I mean, if that's what you choose to do, I would never open up a cupcake bakery. I like the idea of cupcakes, but I see how hard the work is.
Yeah. Cause when you watch like Cupcake Wars and things like that on TV, I'm like, oh my gosh, that right there looks like it would be a lot. What is the most, cupcakes, like you ever seen a bakery like produce? Like somebody said, we made these many cupcakes and you're like, wow, that's a large number of cupcakes.
Actually, I had a question on one of my columns. It was called, how many did they bake on a daily basis? And some bakeries, and I guess it depends on the city, and I'm not just saying New York, because even Chicago and, different cities, they may make about like 10 dozen a day.
Wow.
And maybe more of, if they have a special flavor, and they do more on the weekends. So 10 dozen a day, and that's pretty much, but I mean, those cupcake boards, they make so many. It's ridiculous.
Okay. I thought I was the only one. I'd be looking at that TV like, we about to make 15,000, you know, Mickey Mouse flavored cupcakes in 3 hours. That ain't happening, dog.
And that's why I don't like the show, because I don't think the show focuses on their creativity. It focuses on this, how stressed they can get by how many they have to make.
Yes.
I think they should, I wish they would do it differently. I wish they would make it more like Iron Chef and say,
yes,
make a delicious cupcake out of sardine or something.
because that would actually prove your creativity. Like you really got to be creative to make something like that look good and taste good. If you can do that, you deserve to be the cake Iron Chef.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish they would do that. I really should pitch that idea because no one has done it yet.
I will watch it. I love Food Network. I will be the number one fan. Me and her came up with that idea. She didn't get paid for it, but I'm just going to sit here and watch it and pat my belly and go order it.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of cool. Actually, there was an event. I mean, for these festivals, these summer festivals, I'm sure, and the food truck people, they make, like, you know, several dozen cupcakes for, like, one of those, like, concert festivals, because they're going to be out there all day. I don't know how much they make, but that's like one of those things, like it's a one-off thing, and they have to make as much as possible.
That's
because
true.
They can't go back to the store. They just got to make as much as they can.
But yeah, when they run out, they run out. And what's your favorite cupcake festival?
Well, Well, there are some grassroots, and I don't know if anyone's done with. Oh, there's one coming up in Boston, but I won't go to Boston to attend. But there's these kind of like grassroots cupcake camps where amateur bakers, some professionals, mostly amateur bakers, they bring maybe a dozen of their favorite cupcake flavors, and it's almost like a swap, and everyone just comes and eats and stuff like that. And I didn't organize the one in New York, but we had a really good intern who organized a couple of them, and I was like, I could never do that, because I've organized our picnics and they were outrageous, but do something like this. But she got a place to let them do it and everything.
Wow.
And I have, oh, it's on a, I guess it's somewhere, but it was on an old flip cam I did. And I got there because I wasn't organized, so I could just stroll in all late. And there was a line around the block of people trying to get in. And I was like, oh, this is crazy. She was running around like a chicken with her head cut off. But it was fun. And I got a chance to judge at a cupcake competition.
How was that?
In LA once, and that was fun. That was really fun.
That sounds like my type of party.
It was in a ballroom at a fancy hotel, like right there near like downtown LA, where you could see all the star Walk of Fame stuff and everything. It was nice. It was a fancy little event. And for that, people paid admission and they came with Tupperware. They came up in there with Tupperware.
Oh, they weren't playing.
They had a plan, and they came in pairs. It needed to be mom and daughter, sisters, friends, whatever. And they were like, you handle this side of the room, I handle that side of the room. And they spent their time either eating or grabbing to put in their Tupperwares.
Wow. But I guess so, because for a lot of them, they probably charge $50-$60, however much to get in there. And then it's one of those things where odds are you probably won't get a chance to ever taste a lot of these cupcakes again. Or if you're the type of person where you like want to buy a cupcake or try a cupcake or anything like that, you kind of want to get as many as you can. So,
exactly.
Them cupcakes gonna get that work. They was like, look, you over there, plan A, plan B, they had their football skills going on. Kudos to those ladies.
Yeah, and they definitely bought a water, but one of the sponsors was like Nestle Quick, so it was like a sugar fest. You could have chocolate milk.
Well, that was overtime for them. You're like, look, we need the energy. We sugar, come on, let's go. And for you to be the number one cake blog, and I know you've been asked this question again, but how can you not cook cupcakes? I know that sounds weird. Like, how does this happen? How can you like be the blog, but you go, I love cupcakes, I don't cook cupcakes or bake them?
I bake them. In fact, I get samples of different things. I got a sample of some vanilla extract and lemon extract last weekend, and I might bake with them. But one of the things about baking cupcakes is that it's going to be a dozen or a dozen and a half.
Yeah.
And when you don't have a place to bring them to,
ain't that the truth?
Then you end up eating them all.
Yes, you
do. Or they do throw them out. And number one, I hate cupcake detritus. When we've had anniversary parties, when there is leftover half-eaten cupcakes, it hurts my feelings. So that's one of the main reasons I don't like to bake, because if I can't bring it to somewhere where people can enjoy it, it's just not good.
Enjoy your labor of love. Yeah. Like, what are some of your favorite things just to cook, period? Just to cook and enjoy eating?
I love Mexican food. Like even yesterday, my dad had, last week for Memorial Day, my dad had grilled some steaks. And then yesterday I made steak tacos from the rest of the leftover steak. So I'll anything, but like pretty much anything that has garlic and peppers. So Italian food, Mexican food, stuff like that. I mean, of course, you know, soul food, southern food, but I like to kind of mix it up and kind of see what I've seen from, I read a lot of food blogs. Food bloggers, there's some food bloggers that are more home cooks and some that are more like, I like to go and spend money at restaurants, and I'm not one of those, the restaurant one, but I love to see the inspiration from some of the restaurants, because, I mean, they have the time, and I mean, that's what they're paid to do.
Yes, that's
true.
Be
creative. So.
What is the worst cupcake you have ever eaten?
Well, I've judged some cupcake competitions, and I know that I just won last year, and it was for a fundraiser for breast cancer. I know that some, after judging for a while, I could tell, I have an idea if it's good or not when I split it, you know, cut it with a knife and look to see if the cake looks moist. If it looks dry, if it looks crumbly, like more like, it has more of a consistency of cornbread than cupcake. Yeah, I know it's not going to be good. And there's hardly been a time where I looked at it, thought it tasted bad, and was wrong, and it was surprised it was good. Most of the time it's just dry cake.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was like, why would you have it cornmealy? That's not cake.
Yeah.
And what do you think about meat cupcakes?
Well, those are all that savory cupcake thing. I wouldn't call them cupcakes. I think one of the things about cupcakes has made it so popular is its size and portion control. So people are using basically cupcake or corn muffin trays or whatever you want to call the baking pans, mm-hmm. and making things in them. I mean, people are making like little frittatas and putting egg in them. And, you know, I've seen all different types of little recipes using basically a cupcake pan. So okay. I'm fine with it, but they're not cupcakes. Cupcakes are sweet. I don't mind savory elements like, you know, some candied bacon on top of something
like that, but you want it to be a consistency of a regular cupcake.
Yeah, that's a cupcake.
What's the best cupcake you've ever ate?
Ooh, gosh, that's a hard question, because sometimes I think I've had the best ones not from a bakery, maybe from someone made, because they probably made it only a couple of hours before I had it,
which makes a difference.
That makes a big difference. I really like, I mean, because I really like the candy or turtle. So I like anything that has a combination of chocolate, caramel, maybe either a pecan or some Ooh. Kind of nut. Anything other than peanut, because I'm allergic to peanuts. But okay. Like chocolate and caramel, that combination. That's probably my favorite, like a salted caramel, maybe a little sea salt on top of it. Those, Ooh. that's what I go for.
That sounds good. What's the most unique cupcake you've eaten?
The most unique one is actually what I had a baker. These bakers, they actually have a book coming out. I'll give them a quick plug. That's coming out probably later on in the fall. The Robicellis. They made a cupcake that was a fig cake. So it had fig in it. And the frosting, I'm not sure what was all in the frosting, but they had little bit of prosciutto, like the ham on top of it. So it's a very Italian, they're Italian American. So they, I guess, you know, some, Italian, antipasti has fig and the ham, and they basically, inspired by that, they made a cupcake, and it was still a sweet cake, but you know, ham being close to bacon, it was like a thin sliver, and it probably was just more like something that made it, just gave it a little Christmas to it, a little saltiness. But yeah, I like that. It was very unusual, because I don't think I've seen anything
that sounds different.
Yeah, and it was good. It was good. I wish I could think of the name of it, because they come up with crazy names for their cupcakes. I mean, they've done the fried, they've done the, they did chicken and waffle, but way before everyone else was doing it.
Okay.
So yeah, and it's interesting how like it's somewhat of a cupcakeification of some junk food, you know, like kind of like things that you probably shouldn't eat anyway. But let's put it on a cupcake.
It's like, hey, why not put it on a cupcake? Is there like a cupcake that you love so much that when you order it, you like stash it and you don't like to share it? You're like, these are mine and I'm not even gonna tell anybody about this. I'm gonna slowly eat it till they all gone.
I would say no, mainly because I am not in there. I'm never in a situation where there's a dearth of cupcakes for me. So I just don't need to stash
or like, hide from anybody.
Yeah, no, it's, and it's funny because I see a lot, I've recently moved here and like, just hearing that, like, even one of my sister's, friends from high school, mom has a cupcake place, like in our neighborhood, like, a bakery that sells cupcakes. I'm like, I can't escape it. So I don't feel like I ever have a need to stash any away.
Or hide. And I don't even know if this exists, but I'm gonna ask you, has anybody ever had like cupcake in a drinking form? Like a shake or anything like that?
I bet you one of those newfangled, I sound like an old lady, but those, you know, all those newfangled, like, gourmet burger places, I bet you one has a cupcake shake or birthday shake that's kind of like the cake and milk and stuff like that. But I think I'm pretty sure I've had, like, a cupcake, vodka cocktail, which had like the vanilla flavored vodka and all of that stuff. So yeah, there's some of that stuff going on. But I haven't had a shake though. But I bet you someone is already doing that.
Yes, that right there sounds scrumptious. And see, we were talking about drink. What is that's like your favorite drink? Alcoholic or non-alcoholic? Or both?
Well, I like vodka, so, I mean, pretty much, I would say I would love some kind of, actually a Moscow Mule.
Oh, what is that?
Which is, it's normally like a really nice, either ginger beer or good ginger ale and vodka. I like that. Yeah. So not the Canada Dry vodka, like some good, not the Canada Dry ginger ale, but like a really good ginger, like you taste the spice ginger ale or ginger beer. So I like that as far as a cocktail. I like to drink. I wouldn't say water's my favorite, which I should because it's good for you.
But yes, yes, yes.
probably lemonade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eating all these cupcakes. Have you ever had any concern just about like your sugar going up? You know, black folks call it sugar or anything like that. Is there any, how do you control that? Like, okay, I could get my sweets, but I'm not eating too much sweets. You know what I'm saying? Like to balance that out.
I probably should have some concern, but, I've gone from like when I'm judged events or many events where I have a lot, and especially if I'm hosting an event, I just don't act like it's the last cupcake I'm going to eat. So I just don't eat that many. Okay. I don't eat that many.
So it's more of a control thing.
Yeah, for me not to, I actually don't, if I have too many, then I don't feel well.
Okay.
Like, I just, like, it's not even my sugar high. It's just like, ugh, too much sweet.
Yeah.
So, and often there's been times after some of our events, cupcake picnic or whatnot, like, I'll be like, let me go and get some sushi or something, like something really fishy, like, totally opposite.
To balance this out?
Yeah, something really salty to balance it out. But, yeah, I think that's something that people have to manage. But I kind of like, I don't have like a cupcake diary. But sometimes if someone says, oh, when was the last time you had a cupcake? And then I have to think back, oh, I haven't had a cupcake in a couple of weeks. Or I had a cupcake yesterday. Like, it just depends. But I don't have a cupcake every day.
Okay. Now that makes sense. I was like, all this cupcake, all this sugar. I was like, wow. Like, for a lot of people, they were like, that's too much. But it's like if you balance it out, it is not that much.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, some people eat, you know, like, It's so funny because of writing about cupcakes and stuff like that. I mean, I love other sweets, but they're, it's like things I just won't eat because it's like, that's a waste of my sugar.
Ain't that the truth?
I just got a sample of there's a new M&M candy bar, but I probably hadn't had a candy bar in probably like 4 or 5 years. I don't even, like, candy bars, I don't even touch anymore. That's a waste. Okay. That's a waste of my sugar consumption. I hardly ever eat cookies unless they're homemade or there's there's cookies downstairs, and until I tasted them, I wasn't going to even have them. They weren't homemade. They were store bought. But I was like, that I'm not going to even touch them because of like, it's cookie. Like, it's just a waste of my sugar. But so it has to be like something I'm like, yeah, I'm going to spend time on that.
It has to be worth it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, I want to tell you thank you so much for doing this interview with me, and tell the people how to contact you, get in touch with you, and how to find you.
Okay. Thanks, Karen, for having me on the show. Well, if you want to find me on Twitter, there's two places, Niche, N-I-C-H-E, where I talk about everything from them thrones,
yes,
to cupcakes, to unemployment, to what's on own, anything. I mean, cable TV, whatever.
She's a great follow, y'all.
And then Cupcake Blog, because we couldn't, cause Cupcakes Take the Cake is too long, so we couldn't have that as a Twitter handle. Cupcake Blog has all the cupcake news, posts from the blog, things on Instagram, things from Tumblr. We try to find anything and everything about cupcakes, and that's on that Twitter handle. The Cupcakes Take the Cake blog is cupcakestaketocake.blogspot.com.
And one of y'all, you'll be hungry by the time you flash mm-hmm. through all that. You'll be like, ooh, I got to give me a cupcake. I'm just warning you.
I haven't updated it in a while, but I still have this blog called Cool Black People, but it's CoolBlkPPL.com. But I'm going to try to get back to updating that on a regular basis.
Okay.
And KeepingNickels.com, which is a mix of personal finance and small business stuff. And that at least is updated on a weekly basis, because it's not just me that's writing it. Some other people, it's like people just say, I want to write something. I know they're doing content marketing, but if it's interesting, if it's relevant to the blog, I was like, yeah, go ahead. they think that I don't know that it's content marketing that they're doing. I'm like, I know what you're doing. I don't know, but
this is mutually beneficial.
Yeah,
yes.
Because writing, I mean, it's a dry topic, small business bookkeeping, personal finance and stuff like that. So, I don't mind people, you know, wanting to write things that I probably haven't written about, like, loans. I haven't written about loans, so go ahead.
Make it interesting. Go.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And for those of you out there in the Black Guy Who Tips Nation, show her love. Hit her up on Twitter. Let her know that you heard about her through us. And ma'am, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to do this show with us. For the Black Guy Who Tip Premium members, thank you very much. And until next time.